Okay, I need to tell you a story.
Okay.
I need to tell you a story.
Okay.
I was at a farmer's market. You know, I like to go to farmer's markets because sometimes there's fun stuff there. There's treats. I mean, sometimes we'll get groceries, like produce, but nowadays that's not really the fun part of going to a farmer's market. Anyway, I was at a farmer's market and there was a guy selling mushrooms, which isn't surprising at a farmer's market.
This is a great story so far.
And I go up to him and we bought some mushrooms because they're like, oh, these are interesting. And I said, do these go in the fridge? And he said, yes, make sure you keep them in this paper bag. Don't take them out. Put them in this paper bag. Keep them in the top shelf. Don't put them in the crisper. Keep them in the top shelf and eat them within 36 to 48 hours. I was like, okay, can I feed them after midnight?
Okay.
Nothing. He just looked at me and was like, well, they're going to be cut from the stem. I could see his inner workings going of like, why would you have to feed the mushroom?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I just need to stop making jokes to people.
I mean, it's kind of shocking that he didn't get something so topical and current.
Well, listen, Gremlin. I was like, have you seen Gremlins? He's like, yeah, I've seen Gremlins. Which was, no, I have not seen Gremlins. What is Gremlins?
And yeah, that was. I have no idea how these two sentences are connected at all.
Yeah. You're like, you mean in the engine that sometimes happens? You know, there are gremlins in the engine. Is that what you mean?
Right. Or the car.
No. And I just need Kremlin? To stop. Yeah. I've never been to Russia. Right. I don't think they let people in there anyway.
Not right now. I would imagine not. Yeah.
I don't know why I'd want to go there. And I just need to stop making jokes because that was a great joke. Because it gave me all of these things I had to do with the mushroom that was ridiculous.
Very particular,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I made a joke about gremlins, which everybody's seen except this guy.
Except this guy. Well, how old was the guy?
I mean, younger than me, but not by much.
That's weird then. Yeah. I mean, it may have been one of those things where like he saw it when he was like 8. It terrified him and he never watched it again.
Right. But you still remember, you know.
Maybe.
You still remember, you can't feed, I don't even know what they're called before they're gremlins. What are they called?
Mogwai.
Yeah. You know, you can't. You know,
the same reaction he had, right? Have you seen Gremlins? Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure most people having a working knowledge of the movie will know that you can't feed the thing after midnight. Like, that's a thing, right?
Yeah. That is a solid joke, and it's not one that you should, I mean, not that you'll ever have the opportunity to use it again, but under these circumstances. But you will. You should definitely hold on to it and not be afraid to bring it out again when the opportunity arises.
It's still the safest way to travel, statistically speaking. But here's the thing. He ruined it for everybody. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. here's the thing. That's never going to happen again.
Right.
Right? My mm-hmm. opportunity for that. And now I walked away and he's like, oh, what a weirdo.
Yep.
Right? I'm the weirdo.
Yeah, you're the weird one. But the other thing too is like, even if this did land solid, it's not like you're going to go around and share that story. Like, you share that story because he didn't respond.
Right.
If he responded, you wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, I had this great joke, and he laughed.
Those are always great stories. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I just want to let you know that I'm retiring from making jokes in public, just so you know.
Oh, just completely?
Yeah, it's done.
Wow. Like, not even dad jokes?
Not even dad jokes. Well, I think all of my jokes are dad jokes at this point, but yeah, not even dad jokes.
Just because you're a dad doesn't mean your jokes are dad jokes. That is not.
No, I know, but it happens to be true for me.
Right.
I think I was making a lot of dad jokes before I was a dad anyway.
Right.
Okay, go.
You start.
No, you start. The person who does the voice always starts.
Oh, okay. I feel like that's a new
rule.
You
didn't know that?
No. So, as you know, this is the Measure of an Episode where it is our continuing mission to explore what makes Star Trek proper Star Trek and not just another send-up. Like, that's really all I can think of for this episode. But I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Paul. And the criteria by which we judge these episodes, number one, is there science fiction inherent to the plot? Number two, is that science fiction unique or novel in some way? And number three, is there a moral or ethical dilemma? I'm Paul.
And I'm Jonathan. And do you have a voice to text blurb?
This week, we watched Lower Decks Season 4, Episode 5, and Pathological Fallacies, a tree with Beto Koss on the Cerritos.
So what's the word after Beto?
Koss, K-O-S. It must be like someone might, it's like a contact, because K-O-S, capital K, is not a word. So
right. So the actual blurb is, a trio of Betazoids cause chaos. So I wonder if it heard you like repeat those two words and it was like, all right, well, that must be what he meant on the Cerritos.
Yeah. So it didn't do a great job. But these things are so short, they're no fun anymore.
Right? Yeah. These are really to the point.
Yeah. Boring.
Was there...
They must be having like AI do it or something.
Was there a B plot to this episode? I'm trying to remember. Definitely the Betazoid. Well, kind of, with Boimler like wanting to see what was happening with security, but...
Oh yeah, that was a B plot. That's a B plot.
All right.
Yeah. Not that that matters anymore. That hasn't been a criteria in a very long time.
No, I know. But yeah, I was just...
Hundreds of episodes ago.
But I was wondering... Yeah. We probably stopped it around our 63rd episode. You're right. So that was about 100 episodes ago.
Nice. You worked it in.
Thanks.
Organically. Yeah.
It's almost like somebody is now just not even reading the script, but having somebody tell them like what the episode is about. And they're like, oh yeah, and there was another story plot. And they're like, no, I don't care about that.
Well, in the blurb writer's defense, there's not much going on in this episode.
This is true.
If I'm honest.
Yeah.
You know, this is definitely a mid-season episode. The last two. I mean, mathematically it is, and also the aesthetic is, because it just, I don't know, like these last two episodes haven't really been interesting.
It's not dense. It's very much a filler episode where they have a singular problem and they are just kind of compounding on that.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I think that it's got going for it is, and this is true in the last couple of episodes, where the reference, I guess, and I'm not saying they're setting out to make a reference, but I think every episode in a way is pulling from previous Star Trek material to,
yes,
you know, to inform the plot.
Well, this episode had a trifecta of it, but yeah.
Well, my point is that they are doing these weird amalgams, mm-hmm, of references. It's not, for the most part, except when it's like the Voyager macrovirus or something like that.
Right.
It's more, you know, that's a direct reference. But like, for example, the ring, you know, is kind of an amalgam with the computer and everything from whichever episode that was. It wasn't a direct thing. Like, there wasn't a ring in Star Trek. There wasn't a computer that was 11 million years old. And this one too. God, what the hell's wrong with me? This one too, where there's no real episode where this specific thing happens to the crew, but there are many episodes where the crew suffers from some sort of collective problem, right? Like the Naked Now. There's one in Voyager that I can't remember where everybody kind of starts hallucinating or something like that. I can't remember which one it was, but this is like a familiar thing. And same thing here, like, you know, or like the game in Next Gen. You know, those, it's all kind of the same situation, just a different problem.
So kind of. I mean, so this episode was definitely dealing with the trope of couriering ambassadors from point A to point B. But then it was dealing with the Lwaxana fever that, the fever that Lwaxana had in whatever the episode was, but Gratitude Day.
Right. Yeah.
And then the issue, I mean, Mariner said it, but the issue was what Sarek had when he had to do some kind of diplomatic
mission
trip. But yeah, I didn't want to use mission, like that just seemed maybe that's right,
precise, but
accurate.
I can see why you wouldn't want to use that. Yeah.
No, I feel like there's an actual term for it that's not mission. But anyway, he had his diplomatic mission and he was kind of going senile. And so Picard had to transfer his like emotional control over. And consequently, he like had his little mental meltdown. And so that's what T'Lan was suffering from. But it seemed like it was a hormonal thing. It was like a cross between that Bendai fever and
well, they thought Ponfar. It was that, but it wasn't that. They thought it was something happening, but it was the Vulcan kind of emanating psychic waves, making everybody's, I guess,
right,
on the surface, emotional shit happening with them on the surface bubble over. Is that's what I took it to be? That it wasn't that they actually had that disease. That
right, they didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, like nobody, like everybody was just sort of put over the edge in terms of what their current emotional crisis was.
Yeah, but how powerful did T'Lan have to be to have it still impacting everybody until she got her motions under control.
See, that's the thing, is that I was doing the Wi-Fi signal math too. I was like, well, how could this be happening all over the ship?
Yeah. And, well, because it had to be, because the moment she got under control, everybody else did.
Well, the thing is that there's the sci-fi, right? There's the science fiction. How do you explore how wide her effect can be all over the ship? And maybe there's the farther you get away from her, the less impact you have. So there are people like on the opposite side of the ship that are less impacted by this. And this, you know, I feel like there's your science fiction rabbit hole that you could go down.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more just hijinks, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because like Boimler and Shax were never near Talon, so they weren't affected. But everybody in... It's not 10 Forward here, is it? No, it's not.
No. It's the nightclub.
But everybody in the nightclub was like, once they had come in contact with her, or just been in the same room with her, they had their little emotional outbursts. And then even after she left, they still had it until she got it under control.
Yeah, they just didn't explore what was it called. It was just, this is what's causing it, and this is the effect.
Yeah.
They didn't go into anything. And she, even the Vulcan, you'd think that the Vulcan writing would be that she would want to know specifically of like, oh, this all makes sense scientifically. This is very logical. But she didn't.
Right.
And but you got your wish. I think she F-bombs something, doesn't she? She does. I know she does. No, doesn't she?
I don't remember her F-bombing.
I thought she did.
Maybe she did.
This is why people come to the podcast. Definitive answers.
Yeah, for our photographic memory. Yeah. It is locked in there.
But, you know, it just, I don't know, I feel like maybe I'm asking too much of the Lower Decks, but Lower Decks does this. This is when Lower Decks is fun for me, is when they do go down these science fiction rabbit holes and explore a little bit as to what's happening. Because the stuff with the Boimler plotline, where he's just kind of trying to be a part of the, he just wants to be a ninja. You know, he wants his ninja badge, as it were.
Yeah.
And I guess what she finally kind of gets in a way. But I don't know, that there's another opportunity. They chose the security team plays charades. That's what they do to bond. But you had an opportunity to do something funny while also being science fiction-y. You
know? Right. Well, but I did like the payoff for that, you know, where Shax was saying, we protect the crew, whether that means from an alien invasion or that means from, you know, their own mental hangups.
Yeah, that was the message. But the execution of that, getting there, like, that didn't make it all okay, right? Because were you interested in that plot line as it was unfolding?
Kind of. Like, I wasn't interested in the plot line, but I was interested in the moments. You know, that was the bit where I was okay with just watching it for what happened. Whereas the A plot, like, yes, there should be jokes, but I feel like that plot should have a little bit more thought into it and a little bit more sci-fi behind it.
Because it kind of turned into, over and over and over again, the A-plot with everybody kind of being emotional and everything. What else happened besides that, where everybody became emotional? They didn't know why. Oh, we have to determine if it was the Betazoids. It must be them. Oh, they're part of some secret Betazoid team. But it's not them. And it felt kind of watered down to me. Or just over and over and over again, you know.
Right. It was the same situation over and over, with Freeman saying, you know, no, it has to be you. And they're like, it's not us. You know, and then we cut to a new setting. She's like, it has to be you. And they're like, it's not us.
Well, how did the Betazoids not pick up on some sort of outside psychic influence?
Mm-hmm.
How would they? Did they explain that? It seems like something that at least one of them would be attuned to. It's like, hey, there's something going on. Something's not right. I think he's lying. He's not being honest.
Even just to be consistent with that, even like once Talon had her emotions under control, the Betazoids could also have calmed down and not been so aggressively trying to take over the bridge.
Yeah. Or maybe that was the reason for it. Was that the reason for it? Were they also under the influence of Talon's psychic?
No, because once everybody was mentally sound, they went in and, you know, took care of the Betazoids handily.
Yeah, you're right.
And yes, she was as Vulcan as a mother. That's what it was.
That's right. See, you got what you wanted.
Yep.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing really to talk about. I wrote no notes, really, in this for this episode. Nothing really interesting. Even with the ship, like, nothing really was revealed about the ship or how it operates. I mean, I want an adventure. Like, I feel like there's all these things that were happening. You had, wasn't Boimler part of somebody? They ended a season with somebody being part of Section 31. And they ended the season with the Rutherford conspiracy plotline.
Mm-hmm.
All these things that they just haven't been addressing. And then they did mention the weird Boba Fett ship.
Yeah.
They mentioned it. They didn't really give us any more information other than that they know about it.
Right.
And they know what's happening.
Well, yeah. And it was like a very blurred picture of the ship.
I feel like I'm being kind of just strung along until they get to the stuff that happens. I'm guessing it's going to be a 2 or 3 episode arc as we near close to the near close. As we near the end of the season. But
Southern,
I feel like I'm not out of line for asking for these things from a Star Trek television show, right? Otherwise it doesn't matter. Like, what if you're only going to have them wearing the uniforms and driving the ships, but everything that happens on them is just hijinks? And I mean, I have this complaint all the time about Lower Decks, but why have it be Star Trek?
Mm-hmm. You
know, like,
well, I feel like,
who's it for?
Right. But I mean, I feel like these are the episodes where it is a send up of Star Trek. Like, this was not a proper Star Trek episode. It was Star Trek tropes presented, yeah, you know, in a Star Trek setting, but it was not a proper Star Trek episode. But also, having said that, Lower Decks has tossed out some proper Star Trek episodes that have been great.
Yeah, why can't they keep doing that?
For the same reason that Next Generation gave us Code of Honor.
I feel like I'd rather watch Code of Honor, though. Like, in terms of rewatching something, I never really want to rewatch a Star Trek, a Lower Decks episode.
Or the Paradise Syndrome.
I don't know if I would rewatch the Paradise Syndrome. What was it supposed to, what did we decide it should have been called? What does Bones call the syndrome in the episode? It's what? Something else. It's the Tahiti Syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we talk about that episode again?
I mean, we should, like, we've already talked about the Gorn Strange New World episode, which, if anyone was paying close attention and has listened to that episode, they know which episode that was.
The number changed, but the content didn't.
That's true. That's true.
But you should go listen to the Paradise Syndrome. We have a lot of good observations in that one. You know? If you have an original series buff, not that they're buff as in they work out, but they like to watch it a lot.
Maybe
that should have gone unspoken. You weren't confused about that. So if you have a friend like that, send it to them. Send that episode to them. We want to know what they think.
Actually, the one that I want to know is in The Conscience of the King. Like, that's that I want to hear people's thoughts on, because
we did that with Jeremy.
We did. We did. Yeah. And that's a highly revered episode. And all of us were like, why?
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I would rewatch that one, just, you know, the same reason that you rewatch bad movies. It's like, mm-hmm, good, bad.
Yeah. Well, that's one, right. That's one where, like, you give it some time and you're like, maybe it's not as bad as I remember. And then you go back and watch it and you're like, no, yep, still confused.
Yeah. Still bad. Still bad.
But,
well, I have nothing else to say about this.
Oh, right? This, yeah. Like, I enjoy Lower Decks regardless. I don't think there's been an episode that I haven't enjoyed and would not mind watching again, but not a proper Star Trek episode.
And not really enjoyable. I mean, I guess
not for you?
Okay. It was funny at times. I mean, it just wasn't, I don't know, it slaps my balls, you know?
To coin the French phrase.
Well, I didn't coin it, but I used it.
Sorry, yeah.
I wish I'd coin slap my balls. It slaps my balls. And I still am waiting for the French, you know, the French translation of that.
Right. I thought you forgot. I will have it for you next time.
You hoped I forgot. I remember everything.
Right, with that steel trap of a brain.
Everything. Voice. Yep. Everything. All right. Well, what do you want to do? Do you want to keep talking about this again? Or should we talk? Oh, we should talk about the Paradise Syndrome some more.
Yeah.
All right. No, just a suggestion. Just be a dick about it.
Well, I thought you had something to say, so I was waiting for you to start. You should no. do not say, oh, we should talk about this. You start.
Well, our episode isn't long enough yet, so I thought I would, you know, inspire you to say something that you had forgotten.
No, yeah, I should start writing it down, and we can have like a debrief at the end where it's just the scattered thoughts that we didn't say in our previous episodes.
So, you know, you can put your voice into Google now, and it will create a model of your voice, and so you can type a sentence in, and it will say it back to you like you, like, and it's pretty good. I don't know if you've heard.
No, I haven't. Before. But okay.
So you could just email me questions and I'll answer them and we could just type it out. It'll take like 15 minutes. Then it'll come out edited. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. This would work great if AOL chat was still a thing.
I like the idea that I make a joke and I just hear whoop. Your response coming in.
Great. Well, what would be great about that is you make the joke and I just put, and I respond, lol.
Sounds riveting.
Right.
Riveting podcast.
Or I tried to, you know, asterisk laughter, asterisk.
Well, okay. So this was, you know, it was a disappointment for me. You said you laughed at the episode though, right?
I said I enjoyed the episode.
It was funny at times.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you didn't laugh at it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yes, I did laugh. I laughed a couple times. But, you know, none of it was like laugh out loud hysterical and through the whole thing. But there were definitely moments.
I feel like the laughs are coming at, they're trying to make the laughs come at the expense of the plot, it seems like. They're just like, oh, what's a rough setting we can put them in to let hijinks take over because it'll be fun.
Right.
And I feel like that's not a recipe. I don't know, just as long as you're writing a script, why don't you put the stuff in, you know, mm-hmm. that could be Star Trek-y.
Well, yeah, it almost seems like they have the plot idea, and if they can't come up with more substance to it, instead of setting it off to the side for a later episode, they just pad it with jokes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with the references. I'm okay with them. I'm not saying it's bad.
Right.
I actually mm-hmm. enjoy it. Like, it's fun. It's fun to see sort of a layman's, it's not layman's, but like, you know how everybody knows what Voyager is, but they all kind of, they don't look at it with reverence as everybody in the Star Trek universe probably should. They're like, oh, it's Voyager. They're heroes. You know, they look at it as like, oh, that's weird. You know, Voyager's kooky. And they have macroviruses. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of this layman's
outlook. Wait, sorry, the audience or the Star Trek universe?
The audience.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
But also Lower Decks, they're kind of like the, you know, they're the outcasts of the Star Trek universe in a way. And so they look at it kind of in the same way that the audience does.
Mm-hmm.
They're like stand in for the audience in the Star Trek universe. And it's right. fun. Like, I like that part of it. That's what makes the show good. It just feels like they're not quite doing that anymore, or at least for the past three episodes, maybe.
I don't think that this is the direction Lower Decks is going. I think that they're kind of spinning their wheels, waiting to yeah. move the plot forward with the ship. And in the meantime, they've got these filler episodes, which are just kind of winks to the audience, winks to Star Trek. You know, and it's just, hey, why don't you come along for this ride? Right. It's kind of fun.
Well, hopefully Lower Deck season 4, episode 6 will be better.
Yeah.
And I do not know what it's called.
It is called,
by the way, empathological, mm-hmm. not a word. That's the name of the episode title, empathological
right.
fallacies.
Yes, but there are logical fallacies and there are pathological fallacies.
Yeah.
I found
neither
out
of which is empathical.
Right. But pathological fallacy actually does connect to the episode because it's about having preconceived notions about a group based on an individual.
Right. I mean, yeah, they it's a I guess a pun. Is it a pun or is it just making up a word? I can't tell.
It's a punmento. Like
pun. Oh, nice. That's a thing. You just made a thing. You know when you thought Sherlock Holmes was a good name for home security?
Right.
And then you looked it up. I bet you if you looked up punmento, you wouldn't get any hits.
Maybe, yeah. My favorite word, though, is lexiconnoisseur, which is someone who knows what that is.
I like it. Is it one word?
Yeah. Okay. That's another portmanteau. So the episode is called The Cerritos Visits the Ferengi Homeworld.
Okay. So there's probably two or three or four or five, six, seven other plot lines going on, but that's...
right.
It's like they have a Twitter level character count now in the pun field.
And yeah.
So they're like, what?
Strange New Worlds does not do that.
No. Maybe all of the, you know, all the money went into the into the Strange New World pun. Why do I keep calling it a pun field? It's the blurb field. I guess they're both funny words. All right. Well, let's murder this episode.
All right. Well, I've been Jonathan.
And I've been Paul.
And this has been the Measure of an Episode.
But you already knew that.
Is that Odo?